I've been asked why I don't record many things. This is because of the amount of editing it takes. To demonstrate this, I'll explain, describe in fact exactly why Project Alice, which is just me reading Alice into a microphone, hasn't happened, despite it being 3 years since I promised it to someone. I really should do something about that. In fact, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I have in front of me Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I'm going to read it, and I'm not going to edit it, and then I'm going to post it. And you can see exactly why it takes me so long to actually get things from the printed page onto vocals. First of all, the quality of this isn't very good. I don't have a good quality microphone, and that's it. The second is that I can't be bothered to edit it, and this is what I have to edit it from. Alice in Wonderland from the Project Gutenberg text of Alice in Wonderland. Released March 1994, text number 11. You see, because one of the things is that I forget to find exactly where I'm supposed to be starting from. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll, the Millennium Falcon Edition 3.0, Chapter 1, Down the Rabbit Hole. Alice was beginning to get very tired of sitting by her sister on the bank and having nothing to do. Once or twice she peeped into the book her sister was reading, but it had no pictures or conversations in it. And what is the use of a book, thought Alice, without pictures or conversations? So she was considering in her own mind, as well she could, for the hot day made her feel very sleepy and stupid, whether the pleasure of making a daisy chain would be worth the trouble of getting up and making the daisies, or picking the daisies, even, when suddenly a white rabbit with pink eyes ran very close by her. There was nothing so very remarkable in that. Nor did Alice think it so very much out of the way to hear the rabbit say to itself, oh dear, I shall be late. When she thought about it afterwards, it occurred to her she should have been wondered at it. When she thought it over afterwards, it occurred to her she ought to have wondered at this. But at the time, it all seemed very natural. But when the rabbit actually took a watch out of its waistcoat pocket and looked at it, and then hurried on, Alice started to her feet, for it flashed across her mind that she had never before seen a rabbit with either a waistcoat pocket nor a watch to take out of it. And burning with curiosity, she ran across the field after it, and fortunately was just in time to see it pop down a very large rabbit hole under the hedge. In another moment, down went Alice after it, never once considering how in the world she was going to get out again. The rabbit hole went straight on for like a tunnel for some way, then dipped suddenly down, so suddenly that Alice had not a moment to think about stopping herself before she found herself falling down a very deep well. Slow down, Aquarian. Either the well was very deep, or she fell very slowly, for she had plenty of time as she went down to wander about her, to look about her. I should be reading this more slowly. Either the well was very deep, or she fell very slowly, for she had plenty of time as she went down to look about her, and to wonder what was going to happen next. First, she tried to look down and make out what she was coming to, but it was too dark to see anything. And then she looked at the sides of the well and noticed that they were filled with cupboards and bookshelves. Here and there she saw maps and pictures hung on pegs. She took a jar down from one of the shelves as she passed. It was labelled Orange Marmalade, but to her great disappointment it was empty. She did not like to drop the jar for fear of killing somebody, so she managed to put it on one of the cupboards as she fell past. Well, thought Alice to herself, after such a fall as this, I shall think nothing of tumbling downstairs. How brave they'll all think me at home. Why, I wouldn't say anything about it even if I fell off the top of the house, which was very likely true. Down, down, down. Would the fall never come to an end? I wonder how many miles I've fallen by this time, she said aloud. I must be getting somewhere near the centre of the earth. Let me see, that will be about 4,000 miles down, I think. For, you see, Alice had learnt several things of this sort in her lessons in the schoolroom, and although this was not a very good opportunity to show off her knowledge, as there was no one to listen to her, still it was good practice to say it over. Yes, that's about the right distance, but then I wonder what latitude or longitude I've got to. Alice had no idea what latitude was, or longitude either, but she thought they were very nice grand words to say. Presently she began again. I wonder if I'll fall right through the earth. How funny it will seem to come out among the people that walk with their heads downward. The antipathies, I think. She was very glad there was no one listening this time, as it didn't sound at all the right word. But I know. I shall have to ask. that I shall have to ask them what the name of the country is. You know, please, ma'am, is this New Zealand or Australia? And she tried to curtsy as she spoke. Fancy curtsying as you're falling through the air. Do you think you could manage it? And what an ignorant little girl they'll think me for asking. No, it'll never do to ask. Perhaps I shall see it written up somewhere.
Down, down, down.
There was nothing else to do, so Alice soon began talking again. Dinah will miss me very much tonight, I should think.
Dinah was the cat.
I hope they'll remember her saucer of milk at tea time. Dinah, my dear, I wish you were down here with me, for there are no mice in the air, I'm afraid, but you may catch a bat, and that's very much like a mouse, you know. But do cats eat bats, I wonder? And here Alice began to get rather sleepy, and she went on saying to herself in a dreamy sort of way, do cats eat bats? Do cats eat bats? And sometimes, do bats eat cats? For, you see, as she couldn't answer either question, it didn't really matter which way she put it. She felt that she was dozing off, and had just begun to dream that she was walking hand in hand with Dinah, saying, very slowly, and very earnestly even, now, Dinah, tell me the truth. Did you ever eat a bat? When suddenly, thump, thump, she came down on a heap of sticks and dry leaves, and the fall was over. Alice was not a bit hurt, and she jumped up onto her feet in a moment. She looked up, but it was all dark overhead. Before her was another long passage, and the white rabbit was still in sight, hurrying down it. There was not a moment to be lost. Away went Alice like the wind, and she was just in time to hear it say as it turned a corner, "Oh, my ears and whiskers, how late it's getting!" She was close behind it when she turned the corner, but the rabbit was no longer to be seen. She found herself in a long, low hall, which was lit up by rows of lamps hanging from the roof. There were doors all round the hall, but they were all locked, and when Alice had been all the way round one side and up the other, trying every door, she walked very sadly down the middle, wondering how ever she was going to get out again. Suddenly she came upon a three-legged table, all made of solid glass. There was nothing on it except a tiny golden key, and Alice's first thought was that it may belong to one of the doors on the hall, but, alas, either the locks were too large, or the key was too small, but at any rate it would not open any of them. However, on the second time around she came upon a low curtain she had not noticed before, and behind it was a little door about 15 inches high. She tried the little golden key in the lock, and to her great delight it fitted. Alice opened the door and found that it led to a small passage, not much larger than a rat hole. She knelt down and looked along the passage into the loveliest garden you ever saw. How she longed to get out of that dark hall and wander around among those beds of bright flowers and those cool fountains, but she could not even get her head through the doorway. And even if my head would go through, thought poor Alice, it wouldn't be much of use without my shoulders. Oh, how I wish I could shut up like a telescope. I think I could, if only I knew how to begin. For, you see, so many out of the things that had happened recently, that Alice had begun to think that very few things were really impossible. There seemed to be no use in waiting by the little door, so she went back to the table, half hoping she might find another key on it, or at any rate a book of rules for shutting people up like telescopes. This time she found a little bottle on it, which certainly was not here before, said Alice, and round the neck of the bottle was a paper label, with the words, "Drink me," printed beautifully in large letters. It was all very well to say, "Drink me," but the wise little Alice was not going to do that in a hurry. "No, I'll look first," she said, "and then I'll see whether it's marked poison or not." For she had read several nice little histories about children who had got burnt or eaten up by wild beasts and other unpleasant things, all because they would not remember the simple rules their friends had told them, such as that a red-hot poker will burn you if you hold it too long, and that if you cut your finger very deeply with a knife, it usually bleeds. And she had never forgotten that if you drink much from a bottle marked poison, it was almost certain to disagree with you, sooner or later. However, this bottle was not marked poison, so Alice ventured to taste it, and finding it very nice, it has a sort of mixed flavour of cherry tart, custard, pineapple, roast turkey, toffee and hot buttered toast, that she very soon finished it off. "What a curious feeling," said Alice. "It must be shutting up like a telescope. And so it was indeed. She was only 10 inches high, and her face brightened at the thought she was now the right size for going through the little door into that lovely garden. First, however, she waited a few minutes to see if she was going to shrink any further. She felt a little nervous about this, for it might end, you know, thought Alice to herself, in me going out altogether like a candle. I wonder what I should be like then. And she tried to fancy what the flame of a candle is like after the candle is blown out, for she could not remember seeing such a thing. After a while, finding that nothing else had happened, she went on. She decided on going into the garden at once. But, alas for poor Alice, when she got to the door she found she'd forgotten the little golden key, and when she went back to the table for it, she could no longer possibly reach it. She could see it quite plainly through the glass, and when she tried her best to climb up one of the legs of the table, but it was too slippery. And when she tired herself out with trying, the poor little thing sat down and cried. "Come, there's no use in crying like that," said Alice to herself, rather sharply. "I advise you to leave off this minute." She generally gave herself very good advice, although she very seldom followed it, and sometimes she scolded herself so severely as to bring tears to her eyes. And once she remembered trying to box her own ears for having cheated herself in a game of croquet she was playing against herself, for the curious child was very fond of pretending to be two people. For this curious child was very fond of pretending to be two people. But it's no use now, thought poor Alice, to pretend to be two people. Why, there's hardly enough left of me to make one respectable person. Soon her eye fell on a little glass box that was lying under the table. She opened it and found a very small cake on which the words "Eat me" were beautifully marked in currants. "Well, I'll eat it," said Alice, "and if it makes me grow larger, I can reach the key, and if it makes me grow smaller, I can creep under the door. Either way, I'll get into the garden, and I don't care which happens." She ate a little bit, and said anxiously to herself, "Which way, which way?" holding her hand above the top of her head to feel which way she was growing, and she was quite surprised to feel that she remained the same size. To be sure, this generally happens when one eats cake, but Alice had got so much into the way of unexpected things, of expecting nothing but out-of-the-way things to happen, that it seemed quite dull and stupid for life to go on in the common way. So she set to work, and very soon finished off the cake. See, that's the reason why it takes me so long to actually sort of record things, because I have to go back and edit out all of the R's and X's and "oh, I'm so stupid" later. Lesson over.